All right, today we're in James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verse 26. Now, before we jump into 26, we're going to back up a little bit, only because it's been a while, amen? And so I just kind of want to catch everybody up and bring this in. I'm going to tell you this, and I need you to hear me, okay? In today's sermon or today's passage that we're going to be covering is it talks about true religion and or if you think you're religious. And one of the things that I'm going to be discussing this morning or showing you is the difference between, and guys, please, I just need you to hear me and not get worked up in your seat, okay? Just allow me to walk through this. Because I'm going to show you, and I'm going to be discussing the Catholic Church this morning. And I'm not trying to slam anyone. I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm just going to give facts. Amen. And so I need you to just deal with the facts. If you have issue with me afterwards, then and only afterwards, please don't stand up and say, "I object." We don't want any of that. But if you wish to discuss it with me afterwards, I have zero problems talking with you. And I realize that the Pope passed away. I'm not trying to be disrespectful in any way, shape, or form. But here's where I'm at, and this is what you guys have to understand. Bring up James 1:26, please, if you will. It should be, there you go. So in James 1:26, it says, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious," this word religious is what I have to focus on, because this is what this whole passage is about. And what does that look like? And that's what I'm going to discuss, because we have a modern day, boy, this hurts. I believe through the word of God and observing people's practices, okay? So it's just what we see, the fruits, amen, that we can judge. That the Catholic Church thinks it is religious. And what I'm going to talk about today is the difference between religion and relationship, okay? It's huge. And I know that some people can get worked up, and I just want to acknowledge this and let you know that I'm discussing it, but I'm not trying to attack anyone. I'm just going to lay out the facts. Amen. Okay. Cause I want to respect that. Go to the title, please. Just back up and go to, there you go. Religion versus relationship. And guys, I'm going to tell you, so many people miss this. And in Christ's day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Pharisees and the scribes, they all missed it. They were clinging to religion, and they were very religious. And by the way, to understand what religion is or being religious, if I don't know if you guys realize, but the definition of religion is a belief in a system or a belief in action. And so, for example, if you believe in evolution or the evolutionary theory, that is by definition a religion. Do you see what I'm saying? Atheists, when they say, "I'm not religious, I don't believe in anything." Well, they are religious because their belief is in nothing. And they say, "Well, no God exists." Well, that's their religion. By definition. And so when we look at religion, we have to understand everyone has religion. Everyone. Now, we have a tendency to classify religion and attach religion to the belief in God. But the truth is, religion is a belief system. Okay, does that make sense? And so what is the difference between religion and relationship? Because Jesus Christ came and died for you and I so that we could have a relationship with him. That's the difference. If you look at all these other gods in the world, little g gods, if you will, every one of them demand sacrifices from us, from people. Every religion demands a sacrifice from people that we are to give. I mean, some religions in third world countries, they require, and in scripture, we can go back, Molech, the god Molech, was a god of child sacrifice. And so the requirement for the people were to give their children over to Molech. And what did that look like? They would take, and there would be a pit, a burning flame pit, and a ramp that went up to it. And their child and their sacrifice to Molech. This is so crazy, guys. And it's just kind of dumbfounding when you think about it. But I guess if you, that's all you were taught or that's what you grew up in, is not as, you know, for you, that would be the norm. But what they would do is parents would walk up this ramp and hold their children up and say a prayer or whatever it is that they're saying, and then toss their children in. And it was Molech, the child sacrificing God. That's the requirement from him. And people would do that. And so when we look at religion and we look at these little g gods, there's always a requirement for us to sacrifice to God with no promise in return. You know, if you, and again, no offense, but guys, I need you to hear me today, okay? I'm not attacking. I'm just laying this out, hopefully for understanding. I'll be honest with you. Satan has been beating me up. I feel like my brain hasn't been working this morning. Sometimes I get a little anxiety before I come up to every Sunday, to be quite honest with you. And you're like, really? I mean, for 30 years, I've been preaching the gospel, and every Sunday morning, I got to deal with nerves right there. Like, Lord, take it away. Calm me down. This morning, for some reason, Satan has been pounding on me because obviously he doesn't want exposed. And so I'm like, Lord, and I can't do this. It's up to you. And so, you know, I come up here going, okay, God, because the truth is, I'm just being, you guys know, anybody that knows me knows I'm very transparent. I just wanted to run this morning. Anybody ever been there where like, you don't want to walk in anything, you just want to run home? I wanted to run home, put my pajamas on and go back to bed and just cover up and go, oh, so good here, right? I mean, I don't have to look at anybody, talk to anybody. Like that's where I am this morning. And God's like, yeah, right, big boy, get up there. So if what we're looking at is all these gods want us to sacrifice to them with no promise in return, Jesus, God our Father, gives his son Jesus Christ, and he sacrifices his son for us to be with him. Total, the only God, I mean, of course, he is the God. Please don't let me mislead anybody. He is the God, creator God, God the Father. He sacrifices for us. That is mind-boggling. And then we have religions who blaspheme God, who blaspheme the Holy Spirit, who blaspheme Christians. And one of the things about Catholicism, and again, guys, I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings. So if you're visiting here today and that is your religion, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I just need you to hear me today, okay? And normally I get up here and I just, I don't have no problem. For some reason today, man, I'm telling you, good and evil are just colliding within me this morning. And I can't even explain it. So just ride the ride with me. And if I misspeak, I'll apologize next week. All right. So with Catholicism, though, everything about, and I've talked to so many Catholics, and I'll ask them, because I'll invite them to church, and they'll say, oh, I've been through confirmation. And I'm like, oh, okay, so what exactly does that mean? What does confirmation mean? Does that mean you're going to heaven? Does that mean you're confirmed into what? And they'll just look at me and they'll go, well, I really don't understand, or I really don't know. And if you talk to the Catholic Church, and the only reason I'm picking on the Catholic Church today specifically because it dominates our area. And it gives a perfect picture of the Pharisees, right? The beautiful garb and the dress and the head coverings and walking around and so bold as to offer us forgiveness through the church. So bold as for the Father, which, by the way, we're not to call anyone Father. Amen. That's what the scriptures say. So again, I'm not trying to blast. I'm just pointing out that they have taken things that God has said is his and they've taken it. And then they want, how can one sinner extend forgiveness to another sinner when we've sinned against God? That's why we go to Jesus. There's the other part. Jesus says, I am the only one. I am the mediator between man and the Father, between man and God. Jesus is the only mediator. He takes our prayer request and he goes and he prays for us and he's the one that fills this gap that divides. But if you talk to the Catholic Church, it is Mary that gets prayed to and Mary that goes on our behalf. And listen, I'm not condemning Mary because the Bible says she is blessed because she carried the Son of God. And so this isn't a slam. It's just we have to understand that even in Luke, in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, even Mary says, thank God for my Savior. She knew she was carrying her Savior. And so Mary had favor in the eyes of man by carrying Jesus. Mary had favor with God that he chose her to be that special vessel. I do not minimize that, but we also have to understand that Mary was a chosen vessel for a specific job, but Mary had no special powers after that. Okay? And Mary had, believe it or not, and I know like this is a huge battle, but Mary had other children after Jesus. Her and Joseph were intimate. And I know that blows the Catholic mind, right? It's like, no! And it's like, no, wait. we have evidence. And so Mary had children. James and Jude. Read the book of James. Read the book of Jude. They were Jesus' half-brother. Half because Joseph and Mary were their parents. And Mary and God, through the Holy Spirit, the miraculous inception, was the parents of Jesus. And so when we look at all of this and we look at the teachings, we see religion versus relationship. When we look at what happens in the Catholic Church, and again, I'm just showing this because I want you to see the massive difference. If you talk to a Catholic and ask them if they're going to heaven, they'll say yes. Well, some will say yes. Some will say, I hope so. And then I'll say, okay, well, how do you get there? And they'll look at me and they'll go, great question. Or they'll say, well, if you're a good person. Then the next immediate question, because I love to confound the mind of man, my next immediate question is, okay, how good is good enough? Oh, wait a minute. And by whose standard? Because if you asked 1,000 people in today's world, you'll get 1,000 different moral standards. Which, by the way, whose morals is right? Is it the left who says love, 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 and anyone, you know, everything and anything goes? Or is it the far right who's extremist and legalistic? Or is it those that say, hey, it's all about Jesus? You see what I'm saying? And so it's, okay, how good is good enough? By whose standard? And when have you crossed the finish line? Can you know? And they're like, no, nobody can know who's going to heaven. I just hope I'm going to heaven. And it's like, well, wait a minute. John says that we can know we're going to heaven because of the death of Jesus Christ. And so when we start looking at all of this, what we see is a significant difference between religion and relationship. Now, the Pope, God bless him, rest his soul. I'm not slamming him. But he says pets can go to heaven because anything that makes you happy will be in heaven. And hold on, cover your kids' ears. And those who are sensitive toward pets, cover your own ears. God gave, oh my goodness. Pets are not going to heaven. I'm just, okay. I said it. No, listen, right? Because everybody's like, oh, listen, I would love for my little, what I think it's called a dog. It's just a little, whatever it is. Someone called it a dog. We just ran with it. It just looks like a, anybody ever see a Chihuahua? Let me tell you what chihuahuas are. Glorified rats that have a bark. That's all they are. Is this, and they're ankle biters. And they have no sense of, I do not have a chihuahua. Thank you, Jesus. And I do not have a, how many have a poodle? Anybody have a poodle? See, everyone in here is intelligent. That is not a real dog. Poodles were the left side of an idea of a dog. I'm just saying, like, anyway, so bad. Yeah. Yeah. And cats are of Satan. So there we go. We set it off. So, oh, listen, cats are good for kitty fried rice. That's all I'm saying. It's cat kebabs. Yes. So every animal has its purpose. But no, so it's like pets go to heaven. But here's the problem, guys. God gave us pets to be a blessing to us on earth. But they don't have a soul. Jesus only died for humans. And so therefore, humans are what goes to heaven. That being said, there will be animals in heaven, so you can still pet the horse and pet the lion and scratch behind his ears and all that good stuff, right? So don't be sad. We'll have animals there, just not Fido or Barky or whatever it is. They're just not going to be there, right? But we have the Pope who says, well, because animals make you happy, heaven is happy, therefore Fido will be there. But the Bible says it will be without spot. So I'm just saying that it's some of you will get that when you get home. You know, and then he says atheists will go there. All you got to do is be good. And it's like, well, wait a minute. If you don't believe in God, how can atheists go there? And then he says Muslims will be there. And the truth is, Muslims don't go to heaven. Christians go to heaven. Because how can you get there if you don't believe in the only God and Savior who died for you? And then others will say, hey, well, listen, you have to understand that we're talking about the same God. Allah and Jesus is the same God. Well, no, it's not. Allah and Jesus are not the same. They say they just have different names. No, Jesus is Jesus and Allah is Allah. Significant difference. And so what you have is you have religion. And I find it really interesting that if you pay attention to all the religions, by the way, Christianity is a religion by definition as well. The only difference is Christianity serves a real God and has a relationship with a real God. That's your significant difference. But if you notice all religions in the world, they all get along with one another wonderfully, except for they don't get along with Christians. And all religions in the world, they honor everyone's God. Like, hey, yeah, yeah, that's yours, no problem. Until you mention the name Jesus, and then the hair stands up on the back of their neck, and they start getting ruffled, and you're like, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. And why is it that out of all the religions in the world, the only people being martyred for their belief are Christians. They're being beheaded. I don't know if you know, you don't ever hear it on the news, but I'm telling you, several hundred, if not into the thousands now, have been brutally killed for being Christian around the world. The only religion that they want to remove from the schools is Christianity. The only religion they want to remove or influence from government is Christians. Take the Bible out. We don't swear on the Bible anymore. Why? Because to them it holds no value. And so they can take the satanic Bible and swear on it, and it's acceptable. Courtrooms around the world, town meetings around our country, not the world, forgive me, but, well, I'm sure the world too. But in our country, there are town hall meetings that they come together and they pray to Satan before they open up because they want to be fair. And so I'm like, hold on a minute, guys. So when we talk about religion versus relationship, and that's what James is talking about here, we have to understand the significant difference. We also have to be honest and look and go, okay, this is what one sect believes, and this is what another believes, and another believes. And if you follow Christianity, which, by the way, there's a lot of them that will say, oh yeah, you know, we believe in the Bible, but they don't believe in all the Bible. Well, if you don't believe that all the Bible is true, then you don't believe in Jesus Christ, because if this is the Word of God, then all of it's the Word of God. If it's not the Word of God, then none of it's the Word of God. You see what I'm saying? And so, like, you can't ride the fence. You can't be in the middle. You can't, and by the way, that's what, you know, we have, here's what's crazy. We have right at 4,500, right at 4,500, give or take a few, different religions in the world. Now think about that for a second. 4,500 different religions in the world. And some kind of go with this, and some are completely opposite of this, and some are completely man-made, and some are, you know, like they'll pick and choose, like, hey, I like a little bit of this, so we'll put it in, and a little bit of this and put it in, and a little bit of that, put it in, and a little bit of that, put it in. Before you know it, man, we got a beautiful loaf of something, and we'll run with it. And then people are like, hey, well, I kind of agree with that and that and that. I don't know if I like that, but hey, they're nice people, so I'll take that, 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 and that, and I'll join them. And then what we have is we have all these religions, but here's what I want you to understand is, in reality, there's only two religions in the world. And you go, wait a minute, how do you go from almost 4,500 to two? How do you do that? That's crazy, because I like simple math. I can't count to 45. I'm kidding. But you see, I like simple math. How do we go from 4,500 religions down to two? Because in reality, that's all we have is two religions in the world. Are you ready? Here we go. You can put this in your notes because you'll want to remember this. It's not complicated, but still. Christianity and humanism. That's it. That is it. And if you look at every other religion in the world, if Jesus Christ is not the Savior and God the Father is not the God of all creation and Jesus the Creator and God of all creation, then you have humanism, because you have man's opinion thrown into a belief system. This is completely minus man's opinion. And you know how we know? This is written where man has no way out on his own. Now think about that for a second. Everything that man does, he has an escape clause. Amen? Read everything. Look at all the laws. Well, what do we have? We got loopholes, escape clauses. Listen, we have exits upon exits where we can get out. This gives man no exit except for Jesus Christ only. That's it. Jesus is our only exit. Man can't do it on his own. He can't be good enough. He can't believe what he thinks is right. And so many people are like, well, I believe what I believe. Well, if what you believe is contrary to what this says, then your belief sends you to hell. Because it's, you know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but in the end, it leads to death. Why? Well, because it's God's way or it's man's way. And that's how you know the significant difference. Anytime you see a religion and you wonder if it's right, just see if they focus on man or if they focus on God. If they focus on man, it's religion. If they focus on Jesus Christ specific, it's relationship. There's nothing else. There's no other way. And so that makes it hard, because what I'm challenging you this morning is your religion a relationship with Jesus Christ, or is your religion Pharisaical? And the truth is, every religion that excludes Jesus as being the only way to heaven is Pharisaical. It's man-driven. Man's ideas, man's philosophies. Man, and as soon as you hear someone say, and this is key, listen up, I'm giving you gold right now. Okay, maybe silver. When a man says or a woman says, you share Jesus, and they go, well, I think, you drew the line, you're going to hell. And you're like, that's harsh. I'm not trying for it to be harsh. I'm just simply saying the minute a person says, I believe or I think, and it does not include this being the sole source of that belief, then they're wrong. Then you simply have religion. And religion does not get you to heaven. The Bible makes it very clear. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can get to the Father except through me, relationship. Jesus says the day is coming when people are going to ask, and we've talked about this, where they're going to ask him, who goes to heaven? And he says, only those who believe in me. That's it. There's no other way. And that's hardcore because to most people today, my message this morning is hate. They will classify me as being hateful, that it's full of hate, and I've not extended grace, and it's like, whoa, God didn't extend that grace to believe in anything and everything. God said, it's my son only, plus nothing, minus nothing. And so that's how we know religion versus relationship, and we know the difference. And the minute someone adds humanism to it, it's over. It's a wrong religion. So James in 1:26 says this. Go ahead and bring the passage up. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Hold it right there. This is the crux. Now we can go to verse 27. Go to 27, just for fun right now. Let's go to 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And I thought, James, where do you get visit orphans and widows as true religion? Because that's works to me. But it's not works. To visit orphans and widows simply says that you are going to invest in other people. That's what this is talking about. Invest. As a matter of fact, visit literally is to or does mean to invest in, to protect, to seek out, to take care of. And so what he's saying here is our character is to love on anyone and everyone, even when there's no return. Because a lot of times people have a struggle with, well, I'm not taking the time out for that person because I get nothing in return. What's in it for me? And James is like, that's bad thinking. And not only that, but here's the other thing. Not only do we invest in others who cannot return to us, but it goes right back to keep oneself unspotted or pure, clean from the world. And there's far too many Christians today that are way too invested in the world. Way too invested. They have just, it is everything about the world to please me, to make me happy. Like I'm so goal focused. I got to get money in the bank. I got to get a bigger home or a newer car. I got to be able to go here and do this. And like I am focused. And by the way, how crazy is it that Friday night, Saturday night, you'll go and you'll watch a movie that is absolutely borderline pornography, and then come in here Sunday morning and worship God after putting that in the brain? Like, how can you do that? Because that's not keeping yourself unspotted from the world. I said it about 2 months ago. What if I were to bring a young couple up here and let them seduce one another on the platform up here? You guys would be appalled. Absolutely appalled by that. But yet you'll throw a movie on that does the exact same thing with no regard. We need to be unspotted. And if you're not unspotted, then you're a mess. And so James says, listen, you want to know what true religion is? True religion, if you're religious, back, go to 26, please. If anyone among you thinks, supposes, he is religious, but you can't control your own tongue. Now, why is it so important that James says, if you can't control your tongue, then you're not of God? You're not. You've deceived yourself. Not just yourself. You've deceived your own heart. And your religion is useless. Well, we know Christianity is not useless because it's of Christ. It's all of Christ. But if you can't control your tongue, meaning you tell lies or your vocabulary is not the most gracious, if you will, you speak things that are deceitful or dishonest and you're not kind in your words. You can't control your tongue. You're not of God. You're not born again. And you go, you can't just, listen, I'm telling you what the Word of God says. And why is it that it's so important and James is focusing? As a matter of fact, when we go to the next chapter, as we go through James, he spends a great deal of time on the tongue and how deadly the tongue is. Because I can do a lot of things, you'll forgive me, but there's certain things that I'd say that you guys would never forgive or never forget. You might forgive it, but you'd never forget it. Because words hurt, amen? This whole thing, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, whatever it is that says. That's a lie. I'd rather someone hit me with a stick than say some of the things that they say. Namely, my father. Now, my father has hit me with sticks. He's hit me with 8-foot 2x4s and broke one over me one time. And I was so mad, I jumped up and I looked him in the eye and I said, do it again. And he did. Second time I thought twice before I stood back up. I took that. That was no problem. But some of the things he said to this day, still, if I allow it, could crush my soul. So words carry a lot of weight. A lot of weight. And so why does James focus on the tongue? It's not what goes in the stomach that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. That defiles a man. Why? Because your words show who you are, shows who your heart, where your heart really is. And so if your words are nasty and vile, you're not of God. You've deceived yourself to think that I'm Christ, I'm born again, I'm saved. No. You have a useless religion. Isn't that what that says? And so now let's look at mainstream religions. And I said I was going to talk about Catholicism. Please don't get mad. I'm just pointing out, and if I'm wrong or you don't like what I've said, I promise you, I have no problem if you approach me in a respectful manner to sit down and discuss this with you afterwards. I have no problems with that. Okay. So I'm not trying to beat anyone up. I'm just simply saying, what's sending people to hell? Lies, false religions. They have a funeral. They're not offended. That's why they're leaving. People are looking like, oh, he hurt him. No, I didn't. And so when we look at this, I look at, again, I'm going to go back to the Pope just for a second. The Pope's job is to be, if you will, the vicar of Christ, the spokesperson on earth for Christ, to share the gospel. Like, I'm a vicar of Christ as well. I'm a spokesperson for Christ. I share the gospel. And he made it very clear when he came into office, this last Pope Francis, He said, I am not the vicar of Christ. And then the Bible says homosexuality is a sin and it should not be promoted. And he said, who am I to judge anyone? That's the way God made him. And then he says that Jesus shed his blood for the whole world and saved the whole world through that shedding. So whether you believe or you don't believe, if you're just a good person, you can go to heaven. See, all that is totally contradictive to the scriptures. And it's a, boy, this it's a useless religion. It's not drawing people closer to Jesus, it's drawing people closer to themselves. And then when I talk to Catholics and I'll invite them to church and they'll say, oh, I'm Catholic. And I'm like, oh, okay. My very next question, because listen, after 20 years in New York, I've learned these things. I'm slow, but not that slow. And my very next question is, oh, okay. And then I say, practicing or non-practicing? Like that's the very next question you ask. So you know exactly where they're at. And I would tell you about 95% of them always say non-practicing. Why? It's a religion, not a relationship. If you talk to Catholics, and I'm giving you this because these are the examples that we live with every day. Okay, it's not the slam, it's just what we live with every day. If you talk to Catholics, they're not Christians until it works for them, and then they're Christians. And they'll say, I'm not Christian, I'm Catholic. And I mean, I've heard it a thousand times. And it's like, wait a minute, you can't be what works for you. Either you are or you aren't. And that's what I mean by every other religion. If we only have two religions in the world, humanism and Jesus Christ or Christianity, what the Bible says, then if you're not Christian, you're not going to heaven. Not because I say so or because I think it's the greatest religion in the world, but because the scriptures say that. Good works don't get you there. Being a nice person doesn't get you there. Having money and giving money doesn't get you there. Going through all the rituals doesn't get you there. If you go into most churches, that's what they have. They have rituals. Stand up, sit down, kneel down, Hail Marys, rosaries, prayers that you have to quote, and like, you know, 100 other different things that I don't even know about. But that doesn't get you there. Because that's useless religion according to scripture. It's simply relationship. And what I get really frustrated with in a lot of religions today, like for example, Jehovah's Witness. Jehovah's Witness uses the name of Jesus. But they don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. They believe Jesus was a good man, a prophet that set the example. And if you ask them how to get to heaven, you can't go to heaven. With Jehovah's Witnesses, nobody goes to heaven. You just go back to dirt. You go to nothing. And then my next question, because I had a Jehovah's Witness neighbor, and he and I would always talk when his dad wouldn't get involved. His dad see me, man, he'd yell at him, boy, get in the house. And this kid went to college at the time. And I asked him, he was upset because his uncle would drink and was just a bad man. And he didn't want anything to do with their religion. And I said, listen, man, here's my question. What happens to him when he dies because he's a bad guy? Well, nothing. He just goes back to dirt. And I go, what happens to you because you're a good guy? What happens to you when you die? Well, nothing. You just go back to dirt. Only the 144,000 go to heaven. And I looked at him and I go, then who cares what he does? You're both going to the same spot. It doesn't matter, does it? And he looked at me like he had never thought of that thought before. And I go, dude, your religion requires everything of you and gives you nothing in return. Jesus gave everything for us to have something. total opposite. Total opposite. And that's why when James is talking about, if you think you're religious, and I'm going to tell you, some of you Christians in here, you think you're religious. You have religion, but you don't have Jesus. Your lifestyle shows it. Your words show it. Your tongue shows it. Listen, this is what exposes you, right? Because that's what I love about James. That's what I love about Scripture, is it doesn't beat around the bush. Now, if I say it as bluntly as I read, as it's stated, people get mad at me, but I don't care, because I just simply read the verse. It's not me. But the truth is, if you don't control your tongue, you're not controlling the rest of your body. And if you're not controlling the rest of your body, it's because you're not saved. And you can say, well, I believe in Jesus, but no, you've lied to yourself. Go put 26 up again, please. I haven't even hit my main scripture yet. Dang on. Look here. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, but if you don't control your tongue, you've deceived yourself. You're not saved. That's crazy, isn't it? But that's the truth of it. See, we have all these litmus tests. We have all these little things that Jesus gives us that says whether we're saved or not. And John 8:48, if you don't believe the word of God, the whole word of God, you're not of God. You're not born again. You're not saved. And you're like, what if I don't believe the Bible, I'm not saved? That's what it says. And who is Jesus talking to? The Pharisees? The Sadducees, the rich of that day, the intelligent, the intellectuals, the lawyers, all of them, because they came to trip Jesus up. But you can't trip up God. Are you kidding me? Man's going to match intellect with God? That's a joke. But they deceived themselves. They believed that because Abraham was their father, they're automatically in heaven. I've talked to Jews today that are right here in East Greenwich. Well, they used to be. They've since moved to Buffalo. And I was talking to them, and they're, well, I'm Jewish. I'm going to heaven. Oh, no, you're deceived. You're deceived. If you don't have Jesus, and he married his wife, she's not even Jewish. But because she married into it, she goes, well, I married into it. I'm Jewish now, so I'm going to heaven. I'm like, no, you're deceived. You're not going to heaven. You have a fake religion. You don't control your tongue. You don't control your actions. You deceived your heart. Guys, I'm telling you, as Christians sitting here today, the biggest problem we have in the church, I gave you these stats, and I'm going to give them to you one more time just because it goes with this. Barna did a survey, and he said 30% of those sitting in the church today, 30% are saved. They claim to be saved. 30%. But Barna goes on and he says, but if you look at their lifestyle, those who actually live out Christianity the way the scriptures talk about, you're not perfect, but your language is trying, your actions are like you're trying to be godly. You're trying to actually live it out. And you guys know who I'm talking about. If we look at that, he says only 3% in the church are saved. 30% are saved, but if you look at what the scriptures actually say about living it out, 3%. So if we have 100 people, just to keep it simple math, if we have 100 people, then what? We got 3 living it out. And by the way, I'm going to say this church is the exception to the rule. But think about that for a second. 30 out of 100 are actually going to heaven, if his survey is right. And some of you've gotten upset with me this morning. And some of you are like, I just want to get out of here. I just want this to be over. And the truth is, I do too. I'm just being honest. And you're offended by my words. But if you really looked at your life, could you honestly say that your words that you use on a regular basis honor God? That your you control your tongue. You bridle it. You control it. That what comes out of your mouth is truly what's in your heart, and you're honoring God? Can you really say that sitting here? Can you honestly say that living this out, go to 27, please, that pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is what? Being kind and investing in others, and you keep yourself pure and unspotted away from the world, or are you so tangled up in the world and you're okay with that? You're deceiving yourself. All I'm doing up here is helping you to see what the Word of God says, the requirements on man's life, and the evidence whether you're God's or not. That's all I'm doing. You have to look in the mirror. You have to look at yourself. You have to ask yourself the question, when I die, and by the way, the death rate in America has increased since 2018, 2019. The death rate in America has increased 56%. Increased. You know what that means? People are dying faster than ever in America today. We're not promised tomorrow, the Bible says. So the reality is, guys, I'm asking you this question. I don't want you to answer it out loud. I just want you to look in your own heart. If you were to die right now, God forbid, but if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? And if your answer in your brain is, I think so, I'm a pretty good person. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I mean, I don't act like it. I don't talk like it. I don't live like it, but I believe in Jesus. No, you're deceiving yourself. The worst thing ever, I think, me personally, is to believe a lie here on earth. And then when you die and you look at God eye to eye to be judged, and he looks at you and he says, away from me, you worker of iniquity, or you worker of sin, for I never knew you. I never knew you. It doesn't mean God doesn't know you. He knows who you are. He knows who every human being is. What he's saying is, you're a stranger. You're not in the family. And if you're not in the family, you can't come to my house. My house is heaven. You can't come there. You worker of sin, I never knew you. Away with you. Cast into the lake of fire forever. I don't want you deceived. And the whole reason that I get up here on Sundays and I change my whole preaching style. I used to preach hard. Man, I used to preach. Some of you are like, you still do. I don't think I do. I think I am so mellow and relaxed. Listen, I used to preach hard. If I preached today like I did 20 years ago, I'd have six of you here. And that's my family. No, I'm just kidding, right? They're like, well, there he goes again. I'll go just because I love him. You know, one of those type deals. So the beginning of the year, I was praying, reading the Word of God, seeking God's face. And the Bible says in the end times, they'll ever be gaining knowledge, but never coming to the truth. We live in a day where knowledge is in abundance right now. Pull the phone out. Google, Siri, Alexa. What's the other one? There's another one. Starts with an E. Is there one that starts with an E? Yeah, that one didn't make it. Nobody remembers. And so, right, it's like, so we have our key ones where we just ask questions and our whole house is lit up with Wi-Fi and Siri or Alexa all throughout the house. And we're any room, Alexa, turn on the light so I can read. Alexa, I was wondering. Siri, could you give me, Siri, you're not nice. Siri, could you, and what do? We just ask question, boom, there it is. Anything we want to know is at our fingertips. But people are still lost, dying, and going to hell. And so I thought, you know what? I was just praying and God said, teach, 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 teach. Just teach. And then they'll walk out with what they walk out with. And so I'm dedicated to teaching. As a matter of fact, I was talking to my wife yesterday because where's Josh? Oh, nursery. Yeah. Thank you, Josh. Anyway, I was talking to Josh and I said, I was telling him, I was like, dude, I was talking to my wife and Josh separate times. And I told my wife, I said, I bought a couple more books for Logos, the study. And she's like, why do you need so many books? And I said, let me show you something. Cause she's like, do you read them all? Well, not yet. Larry would love this. Missy, invest in Larry's books. Anyway, I'm just kidding. He's got rooms full. Anyway, I said, look, here's what I want you to see. I said, I'm doing James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 on Sunday. This was yesterday. I says, I'm doing that tomorrow. But I want you to see, look here. And I had like 85 books already because it keeps track of the books that I use for my studies when I'm studying a book of the Bible. There's already 85 books that I use just to research and learn 27 verses. So that I could come in here and give you guys truth and weigh it out. And I go to the Greek and I go to the Hebrew and I weigh all this stuff out. Like when I tell you that I put time into this, guys, I don't just read it and come up here and give you my thoughts. That would be too easy and also offensive. But so I got to give you what God's word says. And I do all that for one reason. That you might hear the truth and respond to it. That's it. That's why I give it to you. So that you wouldn't be deceived. And anybody that comes to this church and has been to this church for any length of time, you've learned something. Like you walk out going, wow, I got it. Because my goal is to connect the dots for you guys. I'm not trying to slam anyone, but I'm going to be a gut honest. And that's my goal. So that when you walk out of here, you can go, now that makes sense. And what I'm here to tell you today is many of you have religion. And James talks about that. And that religion is going to send you straight to hell. Some of you have a relationship, but you're living like you have religion. And you'll pay a price for that. The Bible says we will answer for every word that we speak. Which if I wasn't out of time, I'd start pulling these verses up. But I kind of messed that one up. So I'll do this. Everyone's encouraged. My challenge to you today is if you walked in here and you think, I'm a nice person. I'm a good person. And that's your idea on how to get to heaven, you're not going. Not because I said so, but because the Bible says good doesn't get you there. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to heaven except through him, period. There is no other way. There's nothing else. And then the Bible is even more clear. It says, for with the heart, man believes unto Jesus Christ, unto righteousness. And then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Which means you can't keep your religion to yourself. And some of you are like, this is personal. No, it's not. Stop it. Stop it. Because if you truly know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're going to be loud to tell others so they don't go to hell. Like, that's the truth. Not because I'm a religious freak, but because I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. And so we're not going to be quiet. I'm not going to be quiet. And then some of you, you have absolutely deceived yourself. And you think easy believism. Oh, I believe in Jesus. Now I'm free to sin and do whatever I want because I got a license to sin and I am forgiven. You're an idiot. Because if you truly have Jesus, you don't have a desire to live in a sinful relationship. You don't have a desire to live in sin. You're convicted of that and you want to stop it. So you honor your God, not yourself. There's a huge difference. And so some of you got to work through that. And I'm not foolish enough to believe every person sitting in this room is going to heaven. I'd love to think that, but some of you live a fake life. Some of you live a life outside of this church that is shameful and disgraceful. And then you come in church and all of a sudden you're like, prim and proper. If I had hair, I'd flip it. And it's shameful. You really need to figure out who you are in Christ, because your eternity rests on that. You really need to figure it out. Every one of us. And that's what I'm... That's where we're at, guys. Have you deceived yourself with a fake religion? Or do you really have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and therefore you have a religion with the one and only God, the Creator God of this universe? And only you can answer that, because you know your heart and God knows your heart. And it doesn't matter what you perceive in church or what you show people. It doesn't matter what you show people if it's not real. So you can live a fake life all you want. Doesn't get you to heaven. You're just deceiving yourself. My challenge to you is to look deep in your heart and answer this question. Do I really know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? And am I confident? Because the Bible says that we can be confident that we're going to heaven when we die. But only you can answer that. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this day, Father. And I know that, Lord, sometimes it's just hard conversations that we got to have. Father, I know that the hard things need to be said. And Father, for each and every one of us, and no one is excluded, we need to look at our life. And if we're truly born again, if we're truly have Jesus Christ in our heart and our life is out of balance, Father, convict us to get it back in balance. And Father, if we're faking it and we're pretending, Father, I ask that you would convict every person so that they clearly know and understand that religion is not going to get them there. Only this relationship with you, with Jesus, is going to get us there. And so, Father, I beg you to just expose our hearts to each and every one of us of where we're at, so that we can deal with it and fix it. And then, Lord, I pray that each and every person is honest with themselves and honest with you, and they actually deal with that. And they don't get angry, but, Father, they look within themselves and then fix whatever it is that's wrong. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, and with all of your heart, you are not sure that you would go to heaven if you died, I have good news for you. You can fix that this morning. You don't have to be good to get to heaven. You have to understand that you're a sinner, that you do wrong, that you've went against God, that you live a life that is unbecoming of Christ, and that you have to surrender yourself and your heart to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's how you get to heaven. There is no other way. But when that happens, the Bible says that you're changed. Instantly, you're changed. And the old person dies, and a new person, that which is in Christ, comes to life. And if you're here and you've never experienced that change, or where your heart is just overwhelmed and you want God, you want to hear the things of God, and you're ready to deal with your sin in your life and make the adjustments that God tells us, those are signs that we're saved. And if you never had that, or if you don't have that, then you're not born again. You're not saved, which means you're not going to heaven according to the scriptures. And so if it's your desire and you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins, and you're ready to give yourself over to him, you're ready to repent of your sins, you're ready with all of your heart to believe unto Jesus Christ and him only as your Savior, then I want you to pray this prayer. The words aren't magical. If you haven't believed with your heart, the words mean nothing. The words are simply a timestamp where you go, this day with all of my heart, I made a conscious decision to give my life to Jesus Christ. That's all the prayer is. And so if that's your desire because you want Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you pray this prayer quietly and to yourself. Jesus, today I repent. I'm no longer going to walk my life my way. I am going to turn from my wicked ways. I am going to walk the way you want me to walk. I ask that you forgive me of all the wrong, all the sin that I've ever done. Today, I lay it at the foot of the cross and I beg for your forgiveness and I seek your face and I surrender all to you. Jesus, today I'm yours. I believe with all of my heart that you died on the cross for my sin and I surrender to you.